attaining values
to it, aspects to God's word. But the those that have experienced God's love get to meet God through His word. That's where God reveals Himself, is through the canon of scriptures, the 66 books of the Bible that we have. And it's tempting, or not tempting, not really the right word, but it's possible. I'll just say that. It's possible, and it happens sometimes, where people can spend time learning about God and getting to know about God without ever getting to know God. And those two things are very different. And, you know, Christianity is unique in a lot of ways. But one of the ways where it's really unique is that in Christianity, that the Christian, the follower of Christ, can get to know his God. God desires to have unity, he reveals in the scripture, prayed in John 17, that we would be one with the Trinity. The same unity that the Son has with the Father, that Christians would have that unity with each other and with the Trinity. And He desires to know us. And so God created us for His good pleasure. In Colossians. And, you know, so he desired this relationship with us. But in the Garden of Eden, that there was division, and that relationship was torn apart. And, you know, you ever think about, you ever have an argument that just caused division with somebody that you loved, somebody that was close, and it can really hurt, especially when you really feel misunderstood. Or, you know, when you think about from God's perspective, He loved Adam and Eve so much, met with them in the cool of the day in the garden, walked with Adam and Eve. And, you know, for them to disobey Him and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just had to break His heart. And that caused division. There wasn't the level of unity that was there before that. But, you know, God, of course, knew that that was going to happen in His foreknowledge. And, you know, so that's what the cross was all about. God had a standard of justice. Penalty of sin is death. And he gave them that warning in Genesis. He says, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And, you know, we learn in Ephesians and James that sin leads to death. And, you know, so you think about that division between Almighty God and mankind. It had to just be heartbreaking for Him, because He desires us. He desires our time. He desires to get to know us. And yet, God is just. He cannot deny Himself. He is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous. And so He will not have unity with evil, with sin. He can't. He'd have to deny Himself who He is to do it. So He did not lower His standard of justice to have fellowship with us, but He elevated us to His standard. And here's how He did it. The penalty of sin was death. And there was only one sacrifice for our sin that was acceptable to Him. And that was the sinless blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And, you know, so God became one of His own creation. He went to the cross. He allowed His own creation to kill Him and to put Him in the grave. And, of course, He beat death. He rose on the third day. Enjoyed a glorified body. We believe He presented His blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You study out Hebrews, brings that out. So, he presented that blood, it was an acceptable sacrifice unto himself. And so now when you read 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's faithful because he said he would do it. And he's just because he satisfied his own standard of justice. So he elevated us to his standard of justice. So now we can have unity with God again, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Which is amazing because Adam and Eve, they were without sin in the garden. And yet we today, we still carry about sin in our body. Yet we are positionally righteous and can enjoy that unity, that eternal unity with the Trinity. We can enjoy a level of that fellowship. While it's not in its fullness, the Apostle Paul described it as kind of looking in a mirror and seeing the reflection of it. We do get to experience it. We get to enjoy it today. And so it's important that we get to know God in our Christianity, that we're honest with God. You know, when we become aware of our sin, just like Adam and Eve were hiding in the Garden of Eden, we want to hide. And, you know, because, why? Because, you know, sin is shameful. And that's just the natural reaction it produces in us. It makes us want to hide. But, you know, God wants us to confess that sin so that we can just remove it out of the way, because the justice for the penalty of that sin has been paid for, and he wants to just enjoy getting to know us. And so we should be honest with God in our prayers. You know, just let him know how we feel. You know, and then over time, the more we learn about God, you'll find a lot of our prayers become less feeling based and become more, I don't want to use the word logical, but more fact-based, more faith-based. It's easier to agree with God about his principles about the situation more than how we feel about them. But if feeling is the starting place, I think that's more important, is that we start from that place of honesty. Because isn't that just how we get to know each other? I mean, you think about the people that you trust the most, that you're closest to, that you love, they kind of know who you are. They know your weaknesses. They know your vulnerabilities. They know what makes you cry, what makes you laugh. Because you're honest. You're honest with them. And it's, you know, they've seen the raw you. And God sees the raw you. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. You know, you think about the people that you're closest with, they only see what you reveal. God sees it all and still loves us. You know? And desires that unity with us. So if there's a challenge to take away tonight, it's this, that we would all get to know God more as we, of course, grow in the knowledge of him, but that we wouldn't just park in that learning of him, that we would get to know him in that deep fellowship. So, why don't you flip with me to Galatians chapter 5. We'll take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. In 5:16, the Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you also in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here's the contrast of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice the capital S there in your Bible, this is speaking of the indwelling God that comes and indwells us when we place our faith in Christ, the work that he did at the cross. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So, you know, the flesh can be a little bit hard to describe here, but, you know, I think some simple ways to describe it are, one, you know, who we were or how we tried to conduct ourselves or how we tried to be good or righteous apart from God. I think it can also be our human attempt to control life. I think we could probably state it simply that way. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to manipulate situations in my life and just been so frustrated. And the results of my frustration led to, you know, some of these things that you see in the works of the flesh. Notice the contrast too of work versus fruit. Work is a wage, you know, for the result of work is a wage. The things you earn is that ugly list. All your striving and working, you get, what do you get? Adultery, fornication, you know, outbursts of wrath. My family can tell you, you know, they've experienced my outbursts of wrath when I was in the flesh. Just, you know, lashing out in frustration, just, you know, snapping with a harsh word or, you know, just not displaying the fruit of Almighty God who is living within me and, you know, showing, you know, what's the contrast of that? Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What a beautiful description. And what a beautiful posture God has, doesn't he? And you just look, he's gentle. He's controlled. Just those two things right there. You know, Pastor and Menzo, the week before last, both of them really talking about self-control quite a bit in their messages in both Sunday school and main service. But we have a lot of opportunities to grow in self-control in our life. But we have everything we need that pertains to a life of godliness. And one of those things that we have is self-control. How do I know that we have it? Because the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit within us, and this is a fruit of the Spirit. So we have the ability to exercise self-control. We are not, you know, you go to some of these addiction programs, rehabilitation programs, and they're good. I don't want to mock these or to knock them down, because they do a good job of changing the behaviors in people, but what they can't do is change an identity. In fact, they'll tell you that. They'll teach you that once you are a blank, you will always be a blank. But here's what's different about God. God changes your identity. You know, you see in the scripture, you know, some of these things you once were when you walked in the world, when you walked contrary to God. You know, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. And it even gives us a specific identity. It says, now you are ambassadors for Christ. You're his representative. And so God gives us a new identity. And he comes and he indwells us so that now we are no longer powerless to fill in the blank addiction. We have power over it. Now, do some Christians choose not to exercise that power and become entangled again into bondage? Yes. Does that mean they're not saved? No. I mean, you see it right here. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's inferred there that if you can live in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit. Do you see it? But we should walk in the Spirit. Ephesians challenges us in that. Colossians challenges us in that. That we ought to walk worthy. The vocation for which we've been called. So, interesting how the fruit is often taught and spoken of. You know, a lot of times we just talk about fruit being the natural byproduct of the tree, and it is, okay? So, this list in Galatians chapter 5 is, the evidence of the presence of God. And, of course, we want to draw the conclusion, well, I see the opposite of that evidence, so maybe they're not even saved. It's not even for us to say, don't go there. But at the same time, these are outward traits of God's character. And if God is dwelling within us, these traits ought to be within us. They ought to be displayed. And, boy, we can spend a lot of time learning about God and look a lot like that first list of walking in the flesh. Because, quite frankly, we can walk in the flesh and learn about God without getting to know God more. Now, does that make us any closer to God? No. God is, if we've placed our faith in the work of Jesus Christ, He's indwelling us. We can't get any closer to God. He's in us. But what we can do is learn and grow and become more knowledgeable of God. But not just that. Pass through that and get to know God. Get to know His heart. What makes God angry? You know, the Bible reveals there's stuff that makes God really angry. There's stuff that makes God laugh. You think about people that you're close to, what makes them laugh. It's fun to kind of quote a line from a movie or something just to make somebody laugh and laugh together. God reveals in His Word what makes them laugh. So it's spending time in His Word that we're going to get to know God and learn those important things that He's revealed to us so that we can enjoy that intimacy with Him. So there's a very similar list to this over in 2 Peter chapter 1. So flip over there with me. So let's just start right in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, wow, this sounds a little different. I mean, the same but different, right? So the list kind of looks very similar, right? You see a lot of these same things that we saw over in Galatians 5. Self-control, kindness, love. And we see this same character here. But what's different here is that here we're called to have diligence. And we're called to add to our faith. That, you know, it's not here, this list, it looks a little bit more progressive. We start out with faith, but now we, you know, with diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. You know, makes me think of Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know, if we spend more time learning about God, we'll grow in our faith, and we'll grow in knowledge, right? But, you know, add the virtue. Well, now we got to add to knowledge self-control. How do we add the self-control? It takes practice. You know, I'm still learning and growing in that myself. You know, and then once we add the self-control, now we got to persevere in it. We're going to get tempted, and we're going to be tempted not to exercise the self-control. You know, and then to the perseverance and godliness, we're going to be tempted to not be godly. You know, can we lack these things? Yes, verse 9. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, though, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was what? Cleansed from his old sin. So the people who lack these things, are they necessarily not saved? Of course not. But they're not exercising these things. They're not being diligent, you know, to walk. So it's both. We have the Spirit of God within us, and we get to enjoy the fruit. But at the same time, if we're not engaging with God in the process of practicing the fruit, we're short-sighted and we're blind, and we're not going to enjoy it. We're not going to exhibit the traits of Christ. I just kind of want to, you know, challenge us there. I was going to go into Philippians 3 a little bit, but I think I'll leave it right there. I just want to challenge us to get to know God. You know, let's not get caught in the rut of just learning about God and giving them, carving out these little slots of time. Okay, God, this is your time. This is my time over here. This is work time. This is, you know, Pastor G's challenged us many times in this. The minute we start to compartmentalize our life like that is the beginning of hypocrisy. You know, it's all God's time. And so how are we stewards of that time? You know, and are we being diligent to exercise this list in 2 Peter 1 and Galatians 5? And, you know, are we enjoying the progressiveness in it? And man, I think, you know, most of you know me well enough that I don't have this list nailed. I mean, I struggle. My weight alone shows you that I struggle with self-control, you know. I'll have one of my coworkers works at Panera Bread part-time, and man, she'll bring into the office cinnamon rolls and cherry danishes, and, you know, they're sitting right next to the coffee pot. It's like, oh, you know, self-control is not easy to exercise there. But I need to, because it's, you know, we just learned that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So, you know, that's what we're all learning and growing together. But let's just get to know him. Let's be honest with him. Let's not pretend that we're, you know, I used to be part of this church that you always, there was this expectation that you should just be happy in Jesus all the time, because Jesus is just, he makes you happy, brother, sister. And people acted that way to each other. You know what? God has more than just one emotion. Yeah, he is happy sometimes. Not all the time. And sometimes, you know, Jesus wept when Lazarus died, knowing he was going to raise him from the dead. That's the thing that kills me. But, you know, that was his friend. He knew what it was like to experience that loss of somebody close. He knew what it was like to get betrayed by Judas. You know, I don't think he went through life hating Judas. I think he loved him. He was close to him, and that hurt because he was betrayed by a friend. He gets it, you know, and wants to experience life with us and get to know us and us to know him and to enjoy that fellowship with him. So let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you tonight for your word. And God, we just thank you for you. And God, we just ask that you would help us to know you more. And help us to just get our eyes off of ourselves, good, bad, or indifferent. And just be like Paul, forgetting the things that are behind. And, you know, and even counting the things that are before him is rubbish. For the excellency of knowing you, which is just the highest priority, the greatest thing, that we would just know you. So, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us as we move forward in our week. Lord, may we just glorify you in what we do, say, and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.